This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show. It is a Victory Monday edition. Technically, we had one of those after Cincinnati. It was Labor Day. It was a holiday. It was like 4 or 5 days later. So technically, it was a Victory Monday, but this is the first one that really feels like a Victory Monday. Less than 48 hours removed from Nebraska, curb stomping Akron. All right. Yep, you guessed it. We got a loaded show. We got 5 clips we're going to play today. Some of them do date back to last week. I got to get caught up on some of those. We got rid of the outdated ones. Hopefully, you'll enjoy the ones we are going to play. I think you will. Matt Rhule's got a press conference today. That's usually hour two. We'll get into reacting to what his press conference, what he has to say at the press conference. They've been a little bit delayed sometimes getting those started. It's not a complaint, just is what it is. So we will get to that reaction as soon as we can, is all I'm saying. Lots of stuff to talk about. Final thoughts on the Akron game. What does it mean? Are we national champs? Should we just crown us now after the sky was falling after the Cincinnati game? By the way, we won both games. Just saying, I said last offseason. I mean, it was a random statement that I made. It might have been like February or March. I only said it once on this show. But I remember you stared at me because I don't think you believed me. But I said, I'm not going to overreact on Mondays this year. Like, my goal is to not treat every game like it's the Super Bowl. Do you remember me saying that at one point last week?
Yeah, that's a good thought.
Okay. And you looked at me with so much doubt. You doubted me, doubting Thomas, doubting Jake, doubted me. I think I've done better. It's hard when you care and you're passionate. And it means so much to you. And you only guarantee 12 games a year. Like, this isn't like baseball, softball, basketball, where you're going to play a lot more games. Every game means that much more. But I'm doing my best not to overreact. I have taken the approach a little bit more this year. And I did it in the past, but a little bit more this year. If I'm going to observe and take away tidbits here and there, rather than definitive conclusions, which I never really did before, at least until we were halfway through the season. Then you can become a little bit more definitive. I'm going to observe and take away observations. And we're going to learn more. And I'm going to observe more and more each and every week going forward. So we're going to talk about, what does this Akron win mean? A shutout, over 700 yards of total offense, 68 freaking points. The second, third, and fourth stringers went in, and really, I couldn't tell a difference, which is great. I forget the exact number. I want to say like 108 players played the game. It was over 100. A lot of guys got in. The one guy who didn't get in was Archie Wilson, which is a good thing. You know, if you saw his parents' interview during the game, I felt bad for them because they flew 9,200 miles and want to watch their son play. I got the feeling like, it's only his second American football game ever. So I think they were kind of like, we've been told it's a good thing when he doesn't get in. We don't really understand why, because we really just want to see him play. That was kind of the feeling I got. Like, it's supposed to be a good thing, but we want to watch our son play. But it's a good thing when the punter's parents are getting more airtime than the punter himself. I think that's a good thing. But our full thoughts, full takeaways from the Akron game, react to Matt Rhule's press conference in hour two. All right, hour one of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. That's darn near 125 years, darn near 125 years, ladies and gentlemen. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's HamiltonTel.com. All right, Jake, what was your... Because I don't think you've expressed it publicly yet. You got Bach in the black shirt after this, but our show's first. So you're going to share first here. T. Farley does a great job. You know, I will say this. Like, little things matter to me. So I was pretty sick last week. I was out most of last week. Not a whole lot of people called me. It wasn't anything traumatic, you know. But Terrell Farley was one of the only person from the ticket here who picked up the phone and called me. Now, I texted with you and DP to let you know if I'd be here or not. So I forgive you for not calling to see if I was okay. You already knew. But Terrell Farley's like, man, you doing all right? And it was like 11:30, so I think he was like listening to the show and I wasn't in. He's like, oh, it's like Thursday. He's like, are you okay? How you doing, man? And I appreciated that. That meant a lot.
He's a good guy.
He is a good dude. For everyone else who didn't call me, we are now mortal enemies for life. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Jake. So you're going to express it here first. What's your initial thoughts after curb stomping a not great Akron team 68-0?
Well, it's just fantastic in almost every other way. I think if you would have scripted this, I don't know how you would have scripted it much better. It was great all along the way. Obviously, I guess the fumble, the missed fourth down, that's being very nitpicky for a 68-0 shutout. I mean, just crossed off a lot of things off the list here. Dylan Raiola's 300-yard game, obviously the shutout, like I was talking about, special teams made an impact. It was just, it's just a lot of what Nebraska needed to see. They saw here, and it gives you a legitimate hope that they took that step forward. Was Akron a very good team? Not necessarily, but how have Nebraska teams dealt with not very good teams in the last several years? Heck, they lost to Northwestern. That was the only game win they had all year in 2021. So, and obviously we know, struggles against, losses to Georgia Southern. I mean, there's different ones you can go over the years, but this is how it's supposed to look. I mean, when we were predicting this game, we were deciding, Akron, we told it, this is going to be tough for Akron to get on the board. But you kind of thought, well, the ball bounces funny ways that way. And I mean, they had a field goal attempt. I mean, they got as close as you could. But to actually get that shutout and then to blow out our expectations of where this offense was going to go with the worry about do they have big play type of guys. I mean, it was just, I just don't know if you could have scripted any better for Nebraska. Again, you can't win the championship against Akron, but you can take significant strides forward. And that's what Nebraska did.
So not to be nitpicky, but we start 0-for-2 in the red zone. Obviously, there's a lot of good things here. So I'm going to start. It's like if I'm a coach, after a win, I'm harder on players when I'm coaching them than I am after a loss. It's that if you win like 5 in a row, 8 in a row, 10 in a row, your biggest challenge as a coach isn't a positive mindset. It's keeping people motivated. After a loss, and obviously this isn't a loss, but just as general rule speaking, if you have a really hard loss or a few losses in a row or whatever the case may be, your hardest thing as a coach is sometimes keeping people positive. So we're in a situation where I can start with the nitpicky because, well, most people are feeling pretty good. I'm one of them as well, to be clear. But you brought it up. We were 0-for-2 in the red zone to start the game. Fumble at the goal line, trying to get in. I get that. Try to secure that. I don't like that we couldn't get in from the one on the tush push. I mean, not every team is unstoppable, but the Eagles have made it pretty much like a play that I think should be illegal at this point because it's unstoppable for them. And you're like, oh, it's Kelce at center. No. Cam Jurgens steps in and they're still unstoppable at the tush push. To me, that's about physicality and low man, and we're significantly bigger than Akron. So I'd like to win those things, but those are things you can improve on. We are nitpicking a bit. The reason I bring it up, we left 12 points on the field. So 68 plus 12, we could have had 80 points, Jake. Just think about that.
I don't know if you would have got the safety if the field position had been different.
We would have made the extra points. So we would have made it up with the extra points. No, we got 80, Jake.
All right,
it's 80.
All right.
I'm actually trying to figure out if that does add up now. No, we would have gotten the 12 for the 2 touchdowns plus the extra points. It would have been 80 because you would have subtracted 2, no safety, but then you had 14. So then it's 66 plus 14 is 80. Am I mathing correctly?
No, you're mathing again.
Am I mathing?
Yeah.
Well, I'm mathing, but am I mathing correctly? I don't know. So that is nitpicking a bit, but I will say this. There is a tendency, now, I don't want to say tendency, but in the first two games, we've seen something that's consistent, which is hopefully doesn't turn into a tendency, which is getting close to the goal line and not being able to punch it in. Okay, obviously we had the false start at the 1-yard line versus Cincinnati. Let's discontinue that trend this weekend and move forward. Okay, move forward because you can't leave 12 or 14 points on the board against teams like Michigan and improved Michigan State team. All right, again, we're nitpicking a little bit here. Again, it's a lot of positivity, so you start with the nitpicking, then you go to the positivity. Now, it's funny because you brought up the Ireland game. I'm starting to think teams should not want to play in Ireland. I mean, you talk about that 1-11 season. We were the one in Northwestern's 1-11 season, kind of like Brock Lesnar was the one in Undertaker's 21-1 WrestleMania streak. Oh, just in reverse. I bet like 10 people out there get that reference. The Undertaker was undefeated. He was 21-0 at WrestleMania. Brock Lesnar beat him. So he had 21 wins, 1 loss at the time, 21-1, and then Paul Heyman came out and said, he's the one in 21-1. Well, we are reversed, the one and the 1-11 for Northwestern that year. But then you look at what happened to Florida State. They lose in Ireland last year to Georgia Tech. Season, the sky falls completely in on them. You look at Kansas State, they lose this year to Iowa State in Ireland, eke out a win versus North Dakota, pay Army over $1 million to come into Manhattan to beat them 24-21 this past weekend, I think games in Ireland should be banned going forward. Or just make sure you win the game, one or the other.
Yeah.
Slip the ref like $1,000 or something like that. Make sure you win that game. All right. By the way, I don't know what my record is from our picks last Friday, but I know it was much better than the Friday before. So I'm going to make sure we talk about that at some point as well. Do you have those picks still? Because you wrote them down.
Yeah, I can pull them up.
All right. We'll get to that in due time. All right. In all seriousness, you want to make sure you're efficient from the red zone. You want to make sure when you get close to that goal line, especially that's twice. Once in the first game, one in the second game, we're on the one-yard line. We can't get it in, okay? And of the three possessions I just mentioned, we actually walked away with three total points from the fumble to the tush-push stop to the false start at the one-yard line versus Cincinnati. That's three possessions, five-yard line and in, one-yard line and in on two of them. You walk away with 3 points. Got to work on that going forward. But, I mean, man, as an overall whole, the question coming into this game, everybody expected the Blackshirts to play well. Like, the Blackshirts in game one only gave up one explosive play the entire day. One play of 15 yards or more, that's it. And it wasn't a run. As much as the run game was leaky, it wasn't a run. Now, if we're dealing with technicalities, they had one run of 14 yards. But technically, that's not 15 yards or more, so not an explosive play. Some people define an explosive play as 20 yards or more. Tomato, tomato. Potato, potato. All right. You look at the total points they allowed was 17. And I've said it in a previous show, every NFL locker room I was in, the goal for holding the opponent underneath a certain amount of points, that point total was 17. So they made that goal. The total yardage you wanted to allow to an opponent, that goal was no more than 275 yards. They allowed 271 versus Cincinnati. So there were things they did well in that first game. Now there's things we got to work on. I mean, even as well as we played versus Akron, their leading rusher averaged 5 yards per carry, still against us. So it was leaky, again, at times. Now, that was versus second, third, fourth stringers, okay, in the second half. But you want to maintain that consistency. But when you drop 68 points, when you have 14 different guys who catch a ball, when you're starting running back averages 10 yards per carry, over 700 yards of total offense, we've only done that 5 times in our school's history. You shut the other team out. You have all these things, like, haven't scored 68 or more that type of points since 2012. Haven't had a shutout since 2009. Only 5 times we've dropped over 700 yards of total offense. Like, this is phenomenal stuff. Hey, can our offense be explosive? That was one of the big question marks going into the game. Ooh, Akron, it's only Wyoming, but they held them to 10 points and only 3 points with 5 minutes left to go in the game before the Cowboys scored a late touchdown. Our offense can be explosive. All right, when you look at the stats from this game,
many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster, and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We had 4 guys who averaged 8.5 yards per carry or more. And then you look at Emmett, who averaged 10, and Kenneth Williams had 1 carry for 15 yards. So technically, he averaged 15 yards a carry. But when you average 7.4 yards every time you rush the ball, that is explosive. When you look at yards per catch average, not yards per pass attempt, but yards per catch, we averaged 15 yards per reception every time we caught the ball, 15.4 yards. Ja'Cory Barney, 18.9. Isaiah Hunter, 20.5. Isaiah Mosey, 21.7. Mekhi Nelson, out of the backfield, had 3 receptions, 52 yards, 17.3 yards per reception. Quinn Clark, the 1 catch, his first touchdown catch. Keep your eye out for him. It's unfortunate that Janarion Bonner went down. But Quinn Clark is a 6'5 freshman, the son of a former Husker legend, Ken Clark. He honored his dad with his touchdown celebration in the end zone, by the way. All right, keep your eye out for him. So we have all these players. I think it was 11 players that averaged 10 yards or more every time they touched the ball. I would call that explosive, and I would call that explosive beyond just the first string. What are your thoughts there, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a big part of this too. I mean, is that Nebraska showed their depth in this game. And so they've been talking about it, you know, in the offseason, kind of feeling like you want to get there in year three, obviously, under your coach. And they showed that. And they showed that just about every position here in Nebraska had the advantage. Again, if you kind of, it's Akron, so there's a certain kind of way to look, you know, you don't want to take away everything from this game. I think Nebraska, if you'd have said the top 100 players on the field, I think Nebraska might have had 100 of them. So, I mean, it kind of looked that way, at least in this situation. But that's good, because that would not be the case, you know, in the last decade, again, for Nebraska football. It feels like the depth is coming alive on the offense, certainly on the defense. We saw a lot of guys rotating in and make some special plays. And then the other thing that I just liked about this game in general was that the coaching staff didn't decide, all right, we got the win. Let's just get some guys some playing time and move on. They ran the offense. With Latif, even with Grahamstead out there, you know, they kept kind of throwing the ball around, even with Dylan Raiola. And that's what I said was the key for this game. It's not so much do you beat the point spread. It's do you improve from week to week, right? And do you, in Nebraska's offense, after scoring 20 in week one, and then, you know, the last couple of years averaging around that, you want to take that step forward. So you want to be able to show that you can do it against legitimate D1 competition, which Akron is. And so I just love the fact that they did not fold it in, say, all right, let's try to just, you know, get out of this game as uninjured as we can and get a few snaps for everybody. They kept playing and kept trying to get better and work on plays that they're going to need against Michigan here in a few weeks.
No, I agree. So immediately what, you know, people are going to say, it's Akron. They're not very good. No, they're not very good. That is correct. But I predicted 38-3. And I predicted that because I needed to see our offense be explosive. We had only scored over 40 points twice in the last 15 games. And albeit Akron, they only gave up 10 to Wyoming. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take us to cover because the spread was 34.5. But I'm going to take the under because, well, I didn't trust our offense to be explosive at that point. So I said 38-3. Had they come in and won 38-3, they would have covered. I would have been like, I was right, and never stopped talking about that. But I wouldn't have felt like I do today, because 68-0 has a different feel to it. It is complete domination, annihilation from your starters to second, third, fourth string. I just quickly mathed again a little bit. I did some more mathing, Jake. We had 22 guys who touched the ball in one way, shape, or form throughout the game, whether it be as a quarterback, a receiver, or running the ball, like in a rushing attempt. So they were getting the ball to a lot of guys. Now, again, the sky wasn't falling after Cincinnati. Oh my gosh, we barely beat a team that we should have beat by double digits. No, we found a way to win a game that we normally would have lost. That means something to me. In a game one where you don't have NFL preseason games getting you ready for game one. Now, were there things we needed to work on? Absolutely. It's game freaking one. Then you go to game two, and now are we all of a sudden national champs to be because we won 68-0? No. What I am going to be consistent about is we need to get better every week. If we walk in here, and I don't care what the score is versus Houston Christian, but we clearly have improved in the areas that we need to improve in, and we didn't go backwards in things that we're doing well, don't take things for granted. All right, don't take for granted that Dylan's completing 77% of his passes and hasn't thrown an INT. And I was chatting with Austin on Saturday before the game, and I'm pretty sure he was joking, but he said it's so serious, I had my doubts. He said something about Nebraska not having a turnover all year. And I said, are you sure? He goes, yeah. And so to this day, he had to have been joking. But I'm like, are you living in a video game fantasy world or what? Like, my point is, at some point, Dylan's going to throw an interception. Like, it's going to happen. Like, there's going to be a fumble. But my point is, continuing to win the turnover battle, continuing to be disciplined as a whole when it comes to penalties. We are significantly ahead right now in that department of where we were last year or the year before. Special teams is significantly ahead. Our pass pro looks a lot better so far this year in both games. Our secondary looks really good. So let's keep doing well what we're doing well and just keep getting better in the things we need to improve on. Getting after the quarterback, stopping the run consistently. Okay. The return game looked better. Jacory Barney averaged, let me get the exact number here. I want to say 22 yards per return. I'll get the exact number here in 1 second. 21.8. So 22 yards per return. Had a 39-yarder that was literally one Akron defender away from going to the house. Okay, so the return game looked better. Got to continue to improve in the kickoff return game. But as long as things are looking better, and you can gauge, at least to a degree, how much of it is Nebraska being better versus the opponent being better or not being that good. Like, Nebraska clearly got better from week one to week two. Yes, factor in a bad Akron team. Okay. The zip score put zip on the scoreboard. I saw someone tweet that out on Twitter. Okay. For me, though, that's what I'm looking for. Against Houston Christian, do we have to score 69 in order to get better? No. I want to see the kickoff return game look better. We blocked a field goal on Saturday. Hadn't done that in over a year, about 14 games. I think it was UTEP 2024. All right. By the way, let's be honest. I don't think we beat Cincinnati if our special teams aren't better this year. Think about the kicks that Cunanan made, a 52-yarder. Think about the punting and pinning them deep that Archie Wilson did. Now, we didn't have great returns that game, but those aren't things we could have counted on before. A season ago, we may have had a blocked punt, which may have led to a touchdown, or a missed field goal because of the snap wasn't great. Like, if either one or both of those things happen, like in the bowl game versus Boston College, that's easily 10 points. We wouldn't have won that game. So we are getting better and going in the right direction, regardless of who we're facing or how the game looks as a whole. How does it look at the end? And what's the process of getting better or not getting better? And that's my biggest takeaway from Akron. Nobody can watch that game and say we didn't look better despite the opponent. Is that a fair take? Or is that just, I know I'm sipping the Kool-Aid, but am I chugging it too much? I don't want to chug it yet, but am I chugging it?
I don't think so. I mean, I think that, I think that was kind of the idea. I after that Cincinnati game, we even had a segment last week of how do you want to feel after
that? That's right, we did. How do you feel?
Right. Well, it's that's why I don't think there's anybody that could come in here and say, well, this or that. It was just such a great game. Again, nitpick. You can nitpick here and there. The special teams did kick the ball out of bounds on a kickoff for the second straight game. That's going to need to be shored up. So there's still, again, you can nitpick here and there, but as a whole. They crossed so much off the list of what needed to be done in such a long time that it's hard to argue, okay, now there really is some momentum. All that offseason stuff about Dylan Raiola, Emmitt Johnson's top three right now in the Big Ten in rushing. Dylan Raiola's second. Holgorsen, that effect, is that going to work? So far, yes. So, everything's just kind of coming together. And again, I don't think there's any other way to feel but ecstatic after that.
I agree with you because I did. I said I want to feel how I should feel after a game like that. And that's a bit of a vague response. But because I said that after UTEP last year as well. That's the last time I used that in a similar game because UTEP was going to be really bad coming into the season. They ended up really bad. And we knew that before we played them. I felt how I should feel afterwards. Saturday, I felt how I should feel and then some. I felt like that's how we should look against a team like that. We have not looked like that against a team like that in too long. We did a lot of things we haven't done in a long time, again, from total yardage to total points to shutting them out, etc. We look better in phases we need to look better in. There's still phases to continue to improve in, from red zone, from the actual kicks on the kickoff to the kickoff return to, again, Akron's leading rusher. Let me see here. Again, I want to be accurate. Sean Patrick had 12 carries, 64 yards. Not a lot of yards, okay, but he had 5.3 yards per carry. But honestly, a lot of that came in the 125-yard run that he had. But I've been a part of a lot of film rooms on a lot of Mondays after Sundays or Sundays after Saturdays where if the other team ran the ball 35 times, man, for 32 carries, they averaged like 1.9 yards per carry, but those other three carries were for like 75 yards combined, and that janks up the average. So you got to prevent those leaky plays or those big plays. So there's things to work on. But I feel how I should have felt after that game and then some because that's how we should look against a team like that. What I was saying earlier, if I walked in here and we won 38-3, I'd have been satisfied with that. But I wouldn't have been. Ecstatic is a strong word. You said ecstatic.
Yeah.
You feel ecstatic. Bad news, Bach.
I think a lot of that might be part of just the not having these type of games, this type of feeling. Yeah. This feels like Husker football. That's what an old, you know, legacy Husker football team would have done to a team like this.
Static. I think I feel relief and excitement. Maybe relief plus excitement equals ecstatic. I don't know. I'm going to say I feel relief because we finally look how we should look. We finally won a game that, how many times have we looked like the better team, been the better team, outplayed the other team, and yet on the bottom of the scoreboard? We won a game that we should win in a fashion we don't normally win, and then we won a game how we should win it against a team that we should dominate, curb stomp, and we did. And so to me, it's almost like relief. We're starting to do things that winning teams do that we haven't done in too long of a time. So it's relief and excitement because I'm like, man, we had questions about big plays. I don't know that I do anymore. We still got to play a lot of Big Ten teams, and I can't wait for it. All right, when we come back, let's try to fire through as many of these clips as we can. All right, and also get to the picks. Let's get to those sooner rather than later because, again, I don't know how I did, but I think I did better. Watch, I probably got like 2 out of 5 right, and I'm celebrating for no reason. But I know I got at least a couple right, unlike like on Friday when I got like 0 or a couple of weeks ago where I got 0 right. All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
The Gentle Dentist continues to hear compliments from their patients.
I am so glad we found the Gentle Dentist. It is truly pain-free. Not just for me, but I'm so happy my children have had such a wonderful experience. They love the Smile Club.
I'm a business owner, so every minute of my time is valuable. I love that they are so respectful of my time.
The Gentle Dentist in Worthington. Call now. New patients receive a free sonic toothbrush with a cleaning and exam. Call 614-431-3311.